we open your word today, we pray that you would speak to our hearts, minister to our lives, and Lord, use the ministries you've imparted to us to be a blessing to others. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Well, before Jesus arrived on the face of the earth, he was present to us as the eternal Son of God. He was present with the Father and with the Spirit, and he was at work through those many centuries that we read of in the Old Testament. And Isaiah was one of the prophets that was at work really under the ministry of God to the world, and he looked forward to this day, and he was given a prophecy which he told, and this is part of what he understood would happen through a suffering servant. It turned out to be Jesus. He was despised and rejected by others, a man of suffering and acquainted with infirmity, and as one from whom others hide their faces. He was despised, and we held him of no account. And the cruelest suffering took place. Jesus was just taken out, hammered up on a cross, and cursed be him. That was the end of his life. And it was a cruel and horrible death. The Romans invented that method as cruel a way as they could get rid of troublemakers. And that was what happened to him. But we know, of course, that everything was tipped on its head, because on the third day he rose from the grave. And the amazing thing that then took place has been taking place ever since. And Isaiah said of Jesus, what happened on the cross, surely he has borne our infirmities and he's carried our diseases. Yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities, and upon him was the punishment that made us whole. By his bruises we are healed. And all of us, like sheep, have gone astray. We've all turned to our own way, but the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And so all of our sin has been laid upon the suffering Christ. He's borne our sins, but he's also taken our diseases. One day you will see that that's actually the case. In the age to come, you won't find a disease in the same way we have now. At least I've never been to the age to come yet, so, you know, there's a few mysteries unravelling still. But Jesus' ministry is to bring to us the prime thing in James's letter. You know, they're taking the message of God to the world. And the message was exactly the same one the children heard about, was the forgiveness of sins. And Jesus said, when he saw not even the man who was poor man with his paralysed body, when they saw the faith of the friends, Jesus saw their faith, he said to this man, these people really loved him and prayed for him and wanted him to be healed and free. And when they saw their faith, he said, your sins are forgiven. That is the most difficult thing to do, to forgive the sins of the world. You must bear them away. And Jesus came and took our sins away, all of them, as far as the east is from the west. So far has he taken our sins from us. This is the gospel. You must believe this. You must believe your sins are taken away. Do you believe this? Yes, you've been justified. A new creature, as you believe on Christ and receive him into your life, your sins are forgiven. And that's the news for the whole world. No matter how corrupt and terrible you've been, your sins are forgiven. And of course, those two Bible study experts didn't think that a man could say that, but this man standing there could say that, because this was God himself come to us. And he's come to us to take our sins away. And he said, so that, which is the hardest to do, heal a paralysed man or forgive the sins of the world? Well, it's harder to forgive the sins of the world. But so that you know that that's what's taking place, and that is the case, so that you'll know, here's a sign for you to understand the truth of this. So he heals the paralyzed man. Wow. And we read that Jesus, it must have been an enormously wonderful time if you were living in the districts where Jesus moved. Matthew tells us in chapter 9, verse 35, he says, "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness." So for a while, the future which is yet to come was bursting in, breaking in this little part of the world wherever Jesus went. The age to come was already here, and every disease and sickness is being healed. That continued in the ministry of the apostles, and they, after Jesus had been raised from the dead, they went to the temple, and a man who couldn't walk was rattling his tin, and he wanted some money to help him in life. And they checked their pockets, so they said, "We got no money, no silver or gold, but I'll tell you what we do have." And they were certainly stirred at that moment. They said, "In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, get up and walk." And the man got up and walked and leapt, jumped into the air and went praising God. And they said, "This is a sign of the universal restoration, times of refreshment are coming to us in Jesus Christ. And this is a sign of the future of universal restoring of all things. This man's been restored as a sign of that to come." And then James writes to the suffering church who've been talking about Jesus, and people don't first up usually believe. Sometimes they do, but often it takes a while. And he wrote to them and he said to them, "Brothers and sisters," at the start of James's letter, he said, "Whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and endurance, let it have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing. If you need wisdom, ask. God's generous, and every good giving comes from him, down from above." And so he's teaching them then to love the poorest people among you. If someone walks in and they're really wealthy looking, don't rush across to them. You go to the person who's looking like they need some help and they're not, you know, super important person. You go and welcome them. He writes about his letter about being generous and so on. And then at the end of his letter, he has talked about the sufferings that you get from being a witness to Christ. And here he joins them again together. Sometimes our suffering comes just because we're part of the gospel. It attends the gospel. But other times it comes from stuff that's in our lives that's wrong. And so he wants the church just to be a true church and fix up that stuff that's no good amongst them. So he says, "Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should do what? Call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord." At the end of the service today, there's a little bottle there of oil and some and opportunity to be there for if you would like to be prayed for. We will anoint you with oil, just a little, and pray. Sometimes touching Jesus is the most important thing. You remember a woman in a crowd once, she said, "If I can just get up and get hold of Jesus' garment, oh, I can get better, even though it's taken years and years and years and no one can make me better, this guy can. And she reaches out in the crowd, and Jesus perceives that some power's gone forth from his own body. There's a draining of something. He looks at her, he said, who touched me? And they said, well, all these people bumping into you, what do you mean who touched you? No, he said, someone did. And there's this woman who then confesses what her whole life's about. She falls down and she said, it was me. And he wanted her to be a whole and well person. So there before everybody, he says, daughter, your faith has made you well. And she was a new person. So, you know, this power continues to go forth from Jesus. Sometimes the church, you know, it's not the oil that makes you well. It's not even the prayer. If we read just a little further, they should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing with the oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and who will raise them up? The Lord will raise them up. The Lord will raise them up. So this is what the church has done over many centuries. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. And anyone who's committed sins will be forgiven. And I can remember hearing of a man who went from one of the famous colleges or theological training institutes in America. He went over to give some lectures in Africa on faith and healing. And he went to this conference and he was to talk in the morning about faith and healing. And he had a few little points he wanted to make, but he said by morning tea time, all the churches there where all the pastors were talking about what had happened in their church on Sunday. By the time he heard of all the various healings and helps that had come to people, he thought, what am I going to teach these people? They were desperately praying and asking the living Lord to be at work, and they didn't have the, you know, the blessings, and they are blessings of technology and medical assistance. Often in the Western world, we are so blessed with medicines and know-how and technology, and this is Christ working through them. But so often they just pray and they do see wonderful things happen. We see the same here from time to time, but primarily, probably when you get sick, you don't usually ring me first up or one of the elders. You ring Lisa Koo or, you know, Peter Sanders when he was doing that work, and you ring the doctor and you ask for some help, and then they do some tests and try and give you the very best of the expertise that they've been given. But the point we want to make today is it's not an either or, and it's primarily for us, it is the technology of the Western world and the help we receive through that. But the church's ministry is vital. Who else prays to Jesus Christ? None other than the church. The church prays to the living Lord on behalf of the world. And thank you, Joe, for the wonderful way you led us in prayer for the world. Our task is to pray for the world that the world might know the kingdom of God. That is the reign and rule of Christ over everything. That's what we want to know, and see the power of the Holy Spirit at work, and most of all, the power of his cross to transform the world by dealing with sin. No one in this world can deal with sin. We can just put people in prison, but that doesn't fix it, does it? But Jesus comes and he forgives sin, and he transforms people by taking their sins away and giving to them a new spirit and a new heart and a new way to go about their lives. That is what he is doing. So the church's ministry is hand in glove. It's not just a little thing. It fits together with the wonderful things that God is doing in the world. And so we We encourage you to pray. The other day I went to the Queen Elizabeth Hospital and prayed for a dear friend who was dying, and she died a couple of days later. And one of my other friends, a pastor, was able to be there when she died, and a friend. But there was nothing more that technology could do for her. But there's plenty more that the Lord could do for her, and he did. And he took her home. And she had a whole lifetime of hurts and difficulty and problems and struggles. But she put her faith in Jesus, and it made her life. Anyway, after I'd prayed with her and waved and said goodbye until we meet again, I went down and visited another lady who I knew was in hospital too. And while I was there, we prayed. She was okay. She was probably going to go home soon. And while I was there, I just in one sentence, I said, "And Lord, we pray for the lady next door in the curtain next door, the bed next door, and ask you to bless her." That's all I said. In Jesus' name, amen. But as I walked out and waved goodbye to Shirley, as I went out, the other lady was in tears and she had a big smile on her face and she waved at me. I thought I was going to visit my friend Shirley, but I think the Lord sent me to pray for the other lady, you know. We're involved. The Lord is sending us. He's using his people. And sometimes when there's no people, he just turns up himself and reveals himself through a word or a vision or some other manner and so on. So he is at work. He's healing the wounds of the world and forgiving the sins of the world. And you and I are privileged to be involved in that. So this little other section here just says, look, therefore, if you've got sins, confess them to one another. Tell each other, say, look, actually, yeah, I struggle with this. My life might look all right, but actually, when I go home, I'm depressed or whatever it is. Nothing sinful about that either, but there may be things, there's something I've been doing in my life that's wrong. I actually know I have to quit and stop. So I want to tell you about it. Pray for me so I can do that. And so people confess their sins to one another. You have to be careful who you share your sins with, or they just, you know, find their way onto Twitter or something, you know. So just do it in a small group, you know, or with a good friend, or just go straight to the Lord and fix it up there. But, you know, it's to help us so there's no impediments. And Jesus, sometimes even in his own ministry, his hearts were so hard. It said he went to a town. He couldn't do much there because they were so unbelieving and so determined not to have him in their life. He sometimes couldn't do a lot. But is it next to communion when Paul talks about communion? He said, look, some of you have got things wrong in your life, and that's why some of you are sick and died. You've not come clean about that, and it's working a sort of judgment into your body. So fix that up, and then come and have communion, and you will be, you know, made refreshed and made whole. Sometimes that won't happen. You'll be forgiven and made refreshed and made whole. But, you know, every one of us, every person that Jesus personally healed eventually died of something. True? Yeah. So, you know, and we'll all be in that category. However, the inbreaking of the kingdom is a sign that Christ's kingdom is here now, and that's why he functions in the way he does. One of the reasons. Therefore, confess your sins to one another, pray for one another, so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. And he even finishes, he gives that example of Elijah. He's a human being like us. He prayed fervently that it might not rain for 3.5 years. So, You wonder sometimes if there's an Elijah on the job at the moment, don't you? You think, that's enough, you know. And then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain and the earth yielded its harvest. I was blessed this morning as I heard a lady from an Anglican church. She rang up Australia all over, and she said to Macca, we've got a prayer meeting, and we're praying for some rain, do you know? We don't want too much, like the floods in Queensland or something, but we want an abundant rain. We're praying and asking for an abundant rain. And I thought, good on you. You've just told our nation, all in all parts of the world, this is the key. And it is. And we should pray for these things. My brothers and sisters, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, interesting way to finish a letter. If anyone of you wanders from the truth and is brought back by another, you should know that whoever brings back a sinner from wandering will save the sinner's soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Another place, love covers a multitude of sins. If you've got a multitude of sins in your life, the Lord loves you. His love comes to you to repent and change and be different. Have faith in him and say, thank you, Lord, for your love. And I want to be truly who I am. I want to be a true person. And his forgiveness comes, his spirit comes to you, and you're healed and made new. Love fully covers a multitude, a stack of sins. And for you and I, you know, we're involved in that. We're going to have a moment to pray during our last song. If you would like to be prayed for, you can come to the front, and perhaps a couple who are elders, you could join here, and we'll just anoint you with oil if you'd like that and pray for you. But so that we aren't here a long time, we'll do that just as we sing our last song. I'll say the benediction and then people can go. And if you'd rather be a bit more private, just come down after if you want to and say, look, could you pray for me? And we'll do that. And if nobody wants to come for prayer in that way, doesn't matter. We can do that another time. But if you'd like to, today is a good day to do that. Oh, I was going to say a couple of other important things. Let me do that. Today's focus has been on cancer, and my mum died of cancer, Lynn's sister died of cancer. You've probably all had someone, a friend or someone you know, who's died of cancer. It's the most likely way you and I will die, just by the way. Cancer's number one. I think heart attacks and strokes and things are number two, and then getting hit by a car, getting shot or knifed or something else is further down. Motor neuron disease and, you know, others are, they're all part, but it's one disease is going to get you one way or another or something. It's a morning of good news here, we've come, but I've just got to tell you the bad along with the good. There's 100 forms of diseases that are called cancer. And you can get it from A to Z, anal, bladder, bone, bowel, breast, brain, cervical, children's head, kidney, leukemia, liver, lung, lymphoma, mesothelioma, mouth, myeloma, esophageal, ovarian, pancreatic, prostate, skin, stomach, testicular, throat, thyroid, uterine, vaginal and vulva, and there's probably another 10 to go on there. So all the best with your life, do you know? It's so we've come today to celebrate the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting, and the signs of that truth will be revealed among us, and it'll be revealed among the community, and some people come to faith because they get healed. In Ethiopia, a man, the Pentecostal church have night and day services. Sometimes there's a bit of a carry-on, and you've seen movies like Leap of Faith with Steve Martin and stuff. There's a lot of shenanigans and a lot of charlatans around, but there's also the truth. And one man went into this church, and he was a Muslim man. He couldn't get better, but he went in there and they prayed for him, and he came out. He said, "There's a very powerful God in here." He was healed, and he knew the true God is the God of our Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ. And by the power of the Spirit, things change in him. And that's how the Lord's at work. May the Lord add his blessing to the word today, and may you continue to be used in the kingdom. Sometimes if you don't know what to pray, just say a short prayer. "Please, Lord, help this person." And it's not how many words you use. It's the prayer of faith. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have come into this world through the power and presence of your Son, and you walk among us as the one who loves us, who has promised us eternal life through the forgiveness and love of Jesus. And Father, you've given us the Spirit, a different Spirit, a Spirit of self-control and a Spirit of joy and love and peace and of hope. And we pray that same Spirit would be at work in us now as we pray for each other. Particularly today we commend to you those with cancer. And Lord, thank you that Pauline's here among us this morning with leukemia. Thank you for those who've been studying and formulating new medicines. And we pray your anointing, your healing power upon Pauline today, as indeed others who we have of friends and family with cancer. Lord, you're a wonderful Lord. Hear our prayer. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Yes.